You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
With tentative agreements now in place at the big three automakers, the union is calling off its strikes and directing members back to work. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The United Auto Workers Union hopes the three deals will encourage workers at other car companies to unionize now. There's also the question of how Ford, GM, and Stellantis will pay for the deals while at the same time electrifying their fleets. Marketplace's Nova Safo takes a look.
The United Auto Workers Union scored big victories, including on electrification. Automakers agreed to unionize aspects of electric vehicle manufacturing, such as battery development at GM's Ultium Cells division. UAW's president, Sean Fain, made special note of that while announcing the GM deal.
The significance of this cannot be overstated. Right now, the future of our industry is being defined.
It's also being defined in southern states where foreign automakers have non-union plants and at Tesla, which is also non-union. Fain hopes to organize workers in southern states too, where the UAW so far has had limited success.
Those other manufacturers are probably going to give voluntary increases to their workers to keep the UAW out.
In the meantime, says Eric Gordon, business professor at the University of Michigan, Detroit's Big Three will now have to figure out how to pay for the new contracts.
The change in their cost structure might make them less competitive with non-UAW car companies.
For example, Ford has said its labor costs could rise by as much as $900 per vehicle. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve is likely to hold interest rates steady when it concludes its two-day meeting tomorrow. Childcare costs have been steadily rising. Families today are spending 30% more on average than they did in 2019, according to new data from Bank of America. This at the same time a pandemic-era program subsidizing childcare ended a month ago. Here's Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovell.
Child care prices will likely increase as providers adjust to cuts to federal funding that covered staffing and other expenses, says University of South Carolina economist Jessica Brown.
They're going to have to make some adjustments, likely charging parents more, perhaps decreasing wages.
Child care facilities are already having a hard time staffing up, says Chris Herbst with Arizona State University.
There's pretty fierce competition for these low-wage, low-skilled workers.
If child care prices do go up, low-wage working parents would feel the hit more than others.
Low-income families allocate about 22% of their annual income to their child care expenses. They are now spending substantially more now than they were spending about 15 years ago.
Normally, increased child care costs would result in more women leaving the workforce to take care of kids. But Jessica Brown says that the rise in work-from-home opportunities has changed the equation.
Previous estimates would say, you know, a 10% increase in childcare costs, that's going to reduce female employment by, you know, 0.5% to 2.5% for mothers. But I don't think that's what we're going to see due to the change in the way people work.
Though parents who can't work from home, like lower wage workers, still may have to leave the workforce as childcare costs go up. I'm Elizabeth Trofall for Marketplace.
You You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a college-bound high school senior, you may know about the early decision option. Thing is, under that system, you agree to go to that college before you see the financial aid package. So you say yes without hard cost numbers. And as GBH's Kirk Carapeza reports, data show private schools with early decision have been increasingly admitting predominantly wealthy white students early, with implications for fairness and diversity.
Rachel Avaney is a self-described theater kid from Massachusetts. Here she is belting out a song from the musical Chicago.
There ain't no gentleman to open up the door.
Avaney applied early to New York University. NYU, with its proximity to Broadway, was her dream school. Her family has means, but applying via early decision meant, if accepted, she'd need to commit before seeing her financial aid package. She says that was stressful.
I, like, cried when I first got it, actually, because I didn't think it was going to be enough.
Early decision benefits colleges by attracting well-off families willing to pay high tuition out of pocket or take out private loans to cover the cost.
Right now, it definitely is functioning as affirmative action for the rich.
Elizabeth Heaton is a former admissions official at the University of Pennsylvania, which uses early decision the same way many selective schools do, as a way to let students signal that it's their absolute top choice and
as a way to guarantee a certain percentage of the class right off the bat.
These schools then know how many seats they still have left to fill and how much financial aid they have left to give out. But many lower-income families don't even know about this option.
Individuals who most often benefit from early decision are wealthy and white high school students.
Brian Cook, director of higher education policy at the Urban Institute, says low-income and students of color often don't consider which college to go to until the start of their senior year.
Best case scenario, maybe toward the end of their senior year. Worst case scenario.
To level the playing field for low-income families, state lawmakers in New York and Massachusetts are considering legislation that would ban or limit the practice. Private colleges oppose these efforts, claiming it would drive students out of state. Rachel Avaney, the self-described theater kid, says she felt relieved when she was admitted to NYU early.
All my friends were stressed about college, and I was not. I felt more at peace than I would have if I was still applying.
She didn't get as much financial aid as she was hoping, but Avaney went to NYU anyway, and her mom went back to work to help her pay for it. In Boston, I'm Kirk Carapeza for Marketplace.
And as New York Times Your Money columnist Ron Lieber has written, while the colleges say the early decision process is binding on the student, if you can't afford to go, you don't have to go, and you can apply elsewhere. Some guidance counselors worry if one of their students breaks an early decision pledge, the college might look down on future applicants from the high school. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work. while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.